sights to show you.
Yeah, okay, well, fuck. Are we recording now?
Yeah, we have been for the last 3 minutes.
Oh, shit. Damn. There's no good transition there.
Happy birthday, me!
Oh, hey, cool. Yeah, happy birthday, Alex. That's a good transition. Thanks for you thinking that one. How special.
I'm so tired of everyone forgetting my birthday, man.
It's okay. It's okay. I know June.
At least you know the month. That's all I ask for. One of my dearest friends, Anthony Fuentes. Hey, anyway.
Let you know the month and I don't let you die from, like, bananas and mangoes and shit.
It's so true. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Quick side note before we get before we introduce the podcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast.
Woohoo. Side note.
Before we get started, it'll be a couple weeks after this episode comes out, but a couple weeks ago, I went to the Ren Faire. Unfortunately, Anthony was not able to join us because he was exposed to COVID. Sad. Cry.
So violins right now. You can't hear them, but they are
so
playing.
So many. Anthony was so sad. We were so sad.
I was so bummed.
Anyway, I was dying of heat exhaustion, and also our Uber driver dropped us off at the front, so we had to walk a mile and a half, and I was not wearing the appropriate footwear, despite what I told Anthony Fuentes.
Which I bought, that I can't even fucking use.
Oh, man. Anyway, I had to walk, but I had blisters getting to the fair.
Oh,
so I still had to walk all day. I was in so much pain. Anyway, point is I was sitting waiting for a show, and our dear friend Enrique, he went to go get a drink, and I was like, hey, can you go get me a drink, please?
Yeah.
Can I have the blueberry mead? And he was like, sure. Now, at this fair, they had blueberry mead, they had pineapple mead, and they had a mango something something mead. Now, for those of you listening at home, I'm allergic to two out of three of those things.
Oh, no.
And he came back and he's like, hey, so they didn't have blueberry, but they had pineapple. And I was like,
fuck. Oh, no, Reeks.
Oh, no, shit. It
looks like you're double fisted pineapple, boy.
No, I took the pineapple.
Well, you live. That's good.
Oh, I'm here, right?
Yes.
I took it and I was like, hey, you didn't know this and I didn't think to tell you and I totally forgot to mention it. But just so you know, I'm allergic to pineapple. And he was like, what? He's like, oh, no. And I was like, it's fine. I will drink this and I will probably be fine. But because pineapple is one of my lesser tropical fruit allergies. But he was like, okay, I felt really bad for a second. I'm like, don't feel bad. It's totally fine. My bad for not telling you.
It's like, but if something goes wrong, you were carrying me a mile and a half out to where Uber dropped us off.
Correct. I was just like,
ambulance will be there.
Yeah. And he was also dressed up as Gandalf. So I'm just like, you're going to have to carry me in your Gandalf costume.
Oh my God, the visual of that. Oh, that's great. He's like 6'3 or 6'4.
Yeah.
So he's just
yeah, he's almost like a clear foot taller than me. So
Yeah, it's hilarious. Oh, fucking Reeks.
So anyway, that happened. It was really funny. It seemed like a fun time. Other than me being in excruciating pain for most of the day, it was very fun.
Yeah, but you know, that's when that Uber driver gets 3 stars right there. How that happens.
We were fucked over repeatedly by our Uber drivers that morning.
Ugh, that bad?
Yeah, because one guy, because we, this, oh, pause.
We've been talking 40 minutes since we were supposed to start.
We're just catching up.
This is how listeners, you know, we're actually good friends. We're not just doing this for you guys.
We've only been technically recording for quote unquote 7 minutes, but we've been chatting for like 40 minutes, just catching up and talking about life and everything.
Because I am, of course, isolated because of the COVID exposure.
I know. I miss you.
So many plans derailed. I miss you as well, Webster, but we are here. To talk about this very, very fascinating movie. So
hell yeah.
About the tapes.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
Happy birthday, Alex Webster.
Thanks, Anthony Fuentes. Yay!
It's time. Main date time, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. Welcome to June. Per podcast tradition, and as you know, it was Anthony's turn just 2 months ago.
That's it.
It's my turn. I have a wonderful selection of films picked out for this month. I'm very excited. We have some good guests. Some great. I tried to keep a good diverse selection of genres as well.
Oh, definitely diverse. Yes.
Which is just par for the course because I have a diverse interest in horror films. So
that, and we just had a whole month of slashers.
God, I know.
like a whole month, and except one musical that was like a baby slasher.
A whole ass month of slashers. Mm-hmm. So we're kicking off June with one of my personal favorites, of course. If you've been listening for any length of time, you know. The found footage genre with a sequel to one of the films that we've covered all the way back in 2020.
Oh my God, it's been so long.
Yeah, we're covering VHS 2 from 2013.
Damn. Yay. That's right. Ooh. And let's see what our boys at the Gold Internet Movie Database have to say about this bitch. So, searching for a missing student, two private investigators break into his house and find a collection of VHS tapes. Viewing the horrific contents of each cassette, they realize there may be dark motives behind the student's disappearance.
Ooh. I need to note that I had to edit this for grammar because there was like I think it was they break into his house and find collection of VHS tapes. Like,
Okay, cool. We kicked off birthday month with a Dude Where's My Car reference. This is fantastic. Guys are in this.
Those under the age of 24 are probably like, what the fuck?
I know,
dude.
They need Zoltan.
That was a Dude Where's My Car reference from the year
2000. They need Zoltan in their life. Zoltan! I'm doing the hand motion, but you can't see it.
I can see it in my mind.
Yes. So we're going to take a close look at each vignette one by one, where we'll talk about who wrote and directed each one, as well as, you know, the cast. So let's dive right into this box office info just to kick off. And by the way, I love the change of the format. That is fantastic.
Thank you.
Nice. See, look at getting all innovative. For
I know. I was trying to do something a little different. We'll see how we feel about it.
Okay, let's go. This is time. People are already this far in. So, release dates. Now, this bitch initially released on January 19th of good old 2013. Such a fundamental year for us. I think I met Adrian that month.
Aw, I graduated yes. high school that year.
Oh, shit. I mean, I graduated college that year, so there we go. Oof. And, of course, it released in the United States on July 12th, 2013 in wide. And it was budgeted at a meager $350,000 and made a double but still meager $805,554 buckaroos. 74 buckaroos, whatever. It's not 20 bucks is making a difference for these fucking guys.
It's true.
I know, it's false info no matter what, but still. All right, now, since we are going to break it down per bit, we do have to talk about this thing very generally. So let's break down the release and reception.
Hell yeah. Let's go. There's not a lot about this movie. If you feel so inclined, feel free to check out the, do your own research. The magic is inside of you all along, if you feel so inclined.
See, there you go. The little rainbow thing's coming up right now. Also, another quick aside, too. We had another solid month. I don't know if you...
I have not been looking at the analytics.
Well, it's not as good as the month before, but we still have technically one episode to release in the meantime, so it could actually pass it up again. So I don't know. Listeners, you guys are finding us. Thank you. Keep sharing. Keep Yay! Listening. And it's a lot of people looking at the backlog, so I'm like, oh, they're going back. So, hey, going cool. We got a lot of good stuff. That's right. Don't go back too far, though, because we kind of sucked early on. But like, we got it. We figured it out. Once the layout, once the outlines got better, then we figured it out.
Do you think you would ever do like a redo month?
Oh, hell yeah. I've already been thinking about a redo month. I don't know when, but like, okay, so yeah, podcast meta, but I totally want to redo our entire first month.
Okay.
Like, I want to do like the whole thing, but like, not like, I don't know. I just give it a nice little refresh, like our Gus Van Sant style remake of all the episodes and just how we would do them now. Okay. Like, that'd be fun.
Yeah, because I don't know if you've looked at the outlines for any of our first couple of episodes, but...
I did.
Oh, you'd have?
I had to, because I was, for looking at a director we're looking to premiere our season 5 off of, I went back to look at our catalog of that particular director, and I was like, shit, I just saw the growth happen in real time. It was insane.
I mean, even, honestly, I went back to 2020 just to look at the VHS1 outline. Mm-hmm. And even that, like, I'm like, oh wow, this looks very weird. Like, why are the headers so large?
why is it so rudimentary?
Yeah, like,
where are the jokes?
Yeah, or like, the discussion isn't very, like, it isn't robust as it normally is. Like, there's just like, I feel like we have it kind of down to a fucking science now.
Exactly, which is why a remake month will be fun. Yeah. But you know, we'll see.
If you look back, because we started this bitch in 2018. So if you are listening and you jump between here and, let's say, maybe, I don't know, the Poughkeepsie tapes, Anthony's mm-hmm. favorite episode, and
that is, I love it still. It's so, we're so slow though. We're fucking NPR yes. voice and that shit.
Absolutely. and you notice a bit of a lag in terms of quality or quippiness, because we weren't as quippy because we were focusing on just getting the words out.
Yeah, we were reading. We did read pretty good though.
Yeah, so. I mean, you know. But anyway, if you're interested in hearing a redo month, let us know, because I would sure as shit be interested in it as well.
That'd be so fun. Yeah, I mean, we covered some big ass movies too.
So. We bit off so much more than we could chew. We covered fucking Psycho for our first episode. Like, who the fuck did we think we were?
And our fifth one was Halloween.
Yeah.
Like, anyways, yes.
Who did we think we were? Anyway, let's jump into the release and reception of VHS2. That, wow, Bowie just launched herself into my blinds.
Oh, I heard it. She's having a time.
She is just like, where's this bug?
I want a remake month. I want a remake month.
Yeah, she wasn't even alive yet. She was far from being alive. She wasn't even alive when we did VHS. So, anyway, release and reception. So, on Rotten Tomatoes, VHS 2 has a 71% out of 66 reviews that were positive. The site's consensus is, quote, it's a scattershot as its predecessor, but VHS 2 rounds up enough horror filmmaking talent to deliver a satisfyingly nasty, albeit uneven, dose of gore.
I agree, Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. I am with you on this one.
I realized Joe Swanson, the guy from You're Next,
mm-hmm.
he directed one of the vignettes in VHS. That's
so cool. And it released the same fucking year. That's insane.
I did not realize that until I was looking at the outline, and I was like, oh, it's that guy. And he directed one of my least favorite ones. So.
Oh, great. The Year of Swanson. Here we go. That and Dude Ass. It's just the season 4, totally.
Yeah.
So last month. Go back to last month. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of dude ass.
So much ass. Anyway, Forrest Kitt of The Hollywood Reporter wrote, quote, the scares are as hit or miss as the filmmaking. So, yeah, it tracks.
yeah.
On July 10th, 2013, Rex Reed was the subject of controversy. I had to include this. Due to a scathing review of the film in which he admitted having walked out of at the end of the first segment. His review, however, does continue to complain about parts of the film that happened after he left. His references continue to just be straight up incorrect. Like, he would say things like, he would basically... Have you ever seen someone try to explain a movie that they clearly had never seen before, and it's, like, kind of painful
hands,
to watch?
Hands down. Like, that kind of, like, I want to be cool, and then, like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that part happening. It's like, oh, yeah, that was, like, kind of the climax of the movie, bro.
And they, and they straight up, like, put their foot in their mouth. It was, the whole review was kind of like that. And I was just like, wow, you're a critic, and all your job is to criticize movies, but in order to do that, you kind of have to see them first.
Like, I mean, you don't have to. You're watching a movie, dude. Just watching a movie,
right? And here's the thing: it's like, you don't have to love it. You don't even have to like it. You could absolutely abhor it. You could hate it, but you still have to watch it.
Yeah, yeah, and you should put all that hate into words, like a review,
right? But yeah, and if you turned it off, just write about what you had seen.
Yeah, dude. Rex Reed. More like Sucks Reed, dude. Fuck this guy.
Thanks. But you know whose opinion matters? Do you know who actually saw the movie?
I'm going to go ahead and say 29K people who decided to put it on the internet.
The good people of Letterboxd.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So let's move on. Yeah, those guys. to Letterboxd. VHS2 has a 3.0 rating out of 29,000 reviews on Letterboxd. Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm pretty impressed there. There you go.
Definitely. So, Jacob, with 3.5 stars, says, quote, "Holy hell, the Safe Haven segment just had to fuck shit up. Every segment was fun and unique in its own way, but VHS2 is worth a watch for the Safe Haven segment alone. I'm a sucker for found footage flicks." Agreed.
I mean, dude, if you're a sucker for found footage, it's kind of one of the ones.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of the ones.
If you, like, are totally okay with an absolute bloodbath, fucking watch Safe Haven. Holy shit.
Oh, what a segment. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mima, with 3.5 stars, quote, "Absolutely sick. Better than the first one." Unquote.
Mima, my girl. Yep. Right? Down. I'm with that.
User, a circus rat, with 3 stars. "I would rather watch every damn curse taped in that room than watch Free Guy again." Unquote.
Oh, Jesus. I haven't even seen Free Guy.
I saw it in theaters.
Oh, how was it? Was it good? Or is this accurate?
It was like the Lego Movie meets Ready Player One.
That sounds fascinating, but I still haven't. I don't know. I don't know about it yet.
It's like children's Ready Player One. It is very weird. It's Ryan Reynolds as Ryan Reynolds.
But going back to the circus rat, though, what was the circus rat in Charlotte's Web?
What?
Do you ever remember Charlotte's Web, that
vaguely
rat?
Vaguely. I remember it made me, like, kind of tear up, and then I vowed to never have an emotion ever again.
Oh, man, I used to watch that movie so much, but when that rat died, I was like, fuck. Yeah. Oh, I watched the movie so much, but I was like, that rat died in, like, pure indulgence. I'm like, shit, that's the way to go. That's how you do it. Okay, cool.
That's how you do it. Mm-hmm. Moving right along, other than that weird glimpse into Anthony's dark psychosis.
Yeah, explains a lot.
Sure. Dawson Joyce with 4 stars. Quote, again, "It suffers from a weak wraparound." Okay, weird phrasing. Mm-hmm. "But VHS2 makes for a surprise improvement on the first film with entertaining and often chilling stories and intense gore just for good measure." Unquote.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say 4, but, like, that's a pretty accurate summation also. I think the wraparound's kind of shit in this one, but,
yeah. I mean, I think they all kind of are, to be
honest. Yeah, they're not good.
Like, I think that they purposely make, like, the main story, or, like, yeah, the wraparound story, really weak. On purpose, maybe? I don't know, because, I mean, I feel like that's, like, the most difficult narrative to sell.
That's true. I mean, I feel like they also really, it is just a string along bit. They probably don't put as much effort. And they're like, dude, we already have this many filmmakers, this much going on. Just fucking go in a room and shoot this shit.
Yeah. Well, and we'll get into it, but there's like a moment where it's just like one of these videos, basically someone watches it and it makes them commit suicide. I'm like, none of these videos were shocking or disturbing enough to make me want to kill myself.
Yes, yeah. I mean, if anything, the first movie, but you know, this one,
I mean,
no.
I guess. Anyway, not finally. Well, actually, yes, finally. Courtney B. with 0.5 star.
Oh, my God.
This movie literally makes me wish the medium of film had never been invented.
Ooh, Courtney B. I know what that B stands for, lady. Jesus.
It stands for...
bold. She's a bold take.
Very difficult.
Very difficult bitch. We're just with the zingers today. Yeah, see, this is my stupid COVID-addled mind, you know?
You don't have COVID.
I know, you're right. No,
we don't know for that. We don't know that yet.
No, I'm waiting on a test to come in the mail.
Mail.
Oh, okay, my God. Steve, the Blues Clues. I know, right? The mail's here. Oh, it's a COVID test from the government. Sorry. And then 15 minutes later, he's like, oh, fuck.
I know.
Positive, guys.
Fuck. A third film in the series, titled VHS Viral was released in the United States on November 21st, 2014. This one was so off the wall. I would say, actually, even though this one was such a clusterfuck and, like, totally not the same tone as the other ones, has the more interesting, wraparound story.
Oh, Viral, really?
Yeah. Interesting. I love this franchise. Like, I have seen all of them multiple times.
See? I haven't seen Viral. I'd seen this one prior, actually.
Have you seen 94 yet?
I've only seen the first. 94 did not grab me.
Did you watch it?
I did a fucking sucks read, and I only saw the first segment. So I'm going to give it a shot, actually, but I did not. I couldn't finish it. It was that first one, I was like, ugh, it didn't do it for me.
Which is the first segment for VHS 94?
The one when they go inside the tunnels?
Ratma!
Yeah, the rat.
Hail
the
Ratma.
Fucking rat.
Hail man.
You know, I'll give it another shot. Maybe I was like,
fair. I think you definitely kind of have to be in okay, they're calling it a frame narrative. I don't like that we keep calling it a wraparound.
Oh, whatever. People know what we're talking about. But sure. I feel like, okay, yeah.
But anyway, Ratma. I love Ratma. He's become a meme on Twitter, and I respect it so much. The other ones are pretty good. There's one, like, I think it's the third one, that is just straight up concerning. It has very similar, it has like kind of like a gut punch in it. I really like it.
Okay, see, so I feel like for the VHS franchise in general, you brought up a point that you got to be kind of in a mood to watch it. Like, it's very particular filmmaking. And maybe I don't think I was when I hit off VHS 94, honestly. I was on, like, you know, hanging out with somebody, and we were like, hey, let's fucking watch it. Because we both liked this shit.
That makes sense. It came out in October of 2021, so you could have been busy.
I was so busy. Too busy.
Yeah, we were really busy in October, so...
We don't stop. Unless, you know, right now.
No. We don't stop unless illness physically restrains us from doing things.
Mm-hmm. And then we're doubling up the next time we go out, baby. Yeah. Let's fucking go.
Literally, I had COVID, and then the second I was cleared to go out, I was like, I'm getting super drunk in public.
See, listeners, just as an aside, this is not how our first couple episodes were played out at all. We would not be talking, we'd be talking this fast, we wouldn't be talking about all this stuff. We're like, oh, this fucking movie, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad we've made it this far. Thank you for the good listens over the past couple months.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
And if you like what you heard, don't forget to leave us a review. I will tell you all about that at the end, but review us, please, wherever you're listening. It helps other people find us, and we need more listeners, because we've been doing this for a while, so.
I agree. Yeah. And then also, just as an ahead before we get into the segments right now, listeners, if you have not seen this movie, I recommend you not listen to us, even though we just begged for it. I recommend you watch this movie first. It is free online. And then come back and listen to us break these bitches down, because I actually really like this one.
It is free, but I wasn't sure if it was censored or not.
Nope, not censored at all.
It's not?
It's not censored on Tubi.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's bloody and hard to watch.
I paid for this for nothing. Were there titties in it?
I can't remember if there were. Were there titties in the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, the sex scene. Yeah, there were titties.
Okay.
There were titties. There were commercial breaks, too. That's all you got to deal with, commercial breaks. It's fine. It kind of elevated the thing for me a little bit, so.
Okay. Yeah. So, now that I know this, I don't want to say I regret paying for it, but I'm disappointed in myself.
Well, if it's Tubi or, like, Pluto TV or whatever, they never censor. It's only if it's, like, AMC or some other bullshit, they'll censor.
I'm so paranoid because I watched Friday the 13th on one of those things, and it definitely censored it.
Yeah, no, that was the AMC one, I think. Oh, no. Which one was it?
No, it was... It definitely was AMC, like... But it was...
Their take on it.
Yeah. It was AMC censored. That's for damn sure. AMC.
Anytime you see that, just back out, pay the $4. It's fine. It's $4.
Yeah,
just don't buy a coffee the next day.
I've been very good about not paying for coffee, thank you. I should be able to buy a house any day now.
Yeah, no, that'll do it.
Any day now.
Progressively, I think, yes.
Stop going to Starbucks and you should immediately be able to buy a house. That is how it works.
$4 for how many days out of the year? Like, that adds up.
That's the tax for buying a house, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, there you go. See? Okay, well, no, segment time. We are just going. Happy birthday, Alex. So, we're going to kick off with Tape 49. So, this was directed by, as we mentioned before, Simon Barrett. Simon Barrett, written by Simon Barrett. It has Lawrence Michael Levine as Larry and Kelsey Abbott as Aisha. So, a college student's mother requests that Larry, a private investigator, and his girlfriend, his boo, Aisha, also a private investigator, look into the disappearance of her son, Mr. Kyle. Now, after breaking into Kyle's residence, they discover a large number of televisions displaying white noise, stack of VHS tapes, and a laptop that is currently recording a video that also contains the tapes from the previous film, including Tape 56. So, I love continuity.
Continuity, because that's important for this franchise.
Yeah, people care about that in horror, Alex. What are you talking about?
No, they don't give a fuck. I just also love the arbitrary numbering system of, like, we're going from tape 56 to tape 49. Why? Because those are the creepiest of numbers, ?
They're like, you know what? Sequential numbers aren't scary. Mm-mm. You gotta randomize those bitches, please.
I guess.
So, on the laptop recording, Kyle discusses the VHS tapes, saying where he got one of the most recent ones. Now, concerningly, Larry tells Aisha to watch the tapes while he inspects the house. As Aisha picks up a tape, inserts it into the VCR, and begins to watch, a figure peers from the windows and does some watching themselves. Oh my lord, how will this ever turn out?
You see, kids, back in the day, something called a VCR tape existed.
Oh my god, VCR tapes. Yep, you couldn't record more than a certain amount of time on it, otherwise you need a second tape, which was, you know, we call that Titanic territory right there.
Yeah. So, remember when, the early days of, like, DVDs, where it was like you had to have things on two DVDs also?
Or the A side and the B side. Thank you, Goodfellas.
Oh, I'm thinking of Dinotopia.
Oh, this is how different we are as people.
Right there. I was thinking about Dinotopia.
my childhood DVD that I'd slap in was Goodfellas.
Why when you're watching Goodfellas? How old were you?
It was a great movie, and I don't know. I've always known Goodfellas since I've known movies.
Yes. Yeah. Independence Day also had two DVDs.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't have the Independence Day DVD for some fucking reason.
That's weird.
I know. I felt so bad. I had the VHS. It was great. Anyways, speaking of these VHSs.
Yeah. Also, like, I love that they so heavily rely on, like, the creepy factor of, like, we're going to frame this in such a way that you can see what's going on behind her, but she can't. Like, that is so, like, I don't want to say lazy, but it's just, like, it's kind of a cliche, but it's fun. It's fun.
It's very cliche, yeah. It's fun. They know. Anyway,
I love the trope of, like, well, you're my girlfriend. I'm going to leave you here, and we're going to split up.
Yeah, right, because they need the couples, them to actually be couples for the emotional stakes, you know?
Right, literally for no other reason. Like, they could have just been friends. They could have just been colleagues for all...
Colleagues! Right? We're both two good detectives. We're going to nail this case.
We're going to get to the bottom of this and share some whiskey. Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah. What if they discover their feelings for each other throughout the narrative of the, you know, the thing? There's other ways you can do this, guys. Anyways,
enough time in between. And they didn't care. I think we're giving them way too much credit.
We are. We really are. So the first one that we're going to talk about here in this VHS tape is Phase 1 Clinical Trials, a.k.a. my second least favorite segment of this whole thing. Damn. So, second least. So,
okay, we'll find out what your least.
Yeah, it's good. We'll talk about it. So, directed by Adam Wingard, written by Simon Barrett, and the cast is Adam Wingard as Herman and Hannah Hughes as Clarissa. And there's some boning. So, just up top. Herman Middleton is sitting in a doctor's office as
such
the doctor.
A dorky name.
Yeah.
Herman Middleton.
My favorite author's Herman Melville. So.
Hi, my name is Herman Middleton.
I need an I.
Sorry. We're terrible people. We're horrible people, one might say.
For the namesake. Yep. Anyways, so in a doctor's office, this boy is sitting as Doc examines his camera. The camera is fitted into an ocular implant. that has replaced Herman's right eye after it was damaged in an automobile accidente. Now,
I didn't put that in the outline.
We're allowed to riff. You know how this works.
No, I know. I just don't want people to be like, why is Alex making Anthony say things like accidente? I know,
right? Well, the doctor informs Mr. fucking Middleton that the stupid name, that the camera will record and monitor everything he does for research purposes, and there's no way to turn it off during this time. And I love how they have this negotiation back. It's like, dude, what if I'm like jerking off or something? He's just like, well, you want a fucking eyeball, don't you? Like, what do you want me to do? Also,
like, I don't know, maybe this is just me and like how little shame I have as a person, but I'm like, I mean, are you guys okay with seeing like whatever? Like, if you're game, I'm game. Like,
I'm like, listen, guys, you don't know how much I check myself out in the mirror and look at my own dick, all right? This is going to be a tough, like, time for all of us.
Truly, like, my apartment, like, I only wear clothes unless it is absolutely necessary. So, really, it's your game, really.
Yeah, and is it, like, pupil-focused? Because, like, I live in L.A. I have to, like, quickly glance at a lot of, like, asses around, because there's a lot of pretty people
around. I think that would be the least of their concerns. Truly.
I'm just, it's for my own shame.
So... I have not. I have no shame. I'm like, did you see? Did you see it? Because I saw so many asses today.
I'll be talking to them like, hey, is this like something to you? Should I get this checked out? Anyways, Herman is also told that he may experience some glitches as the implant is still in its experimental stage. And very clearly it is, yes.
Think he gets what he bargained for in that case.
He's like, glitches, fucking, this is my eyeballs, man. This is one eyeball, he'll be fine, buddy. Don't jerk off so much. Like, we're here. So, as he leaves the clinic, Herman notices a young red-haired girl staring at him very intently. You know, returning home, Herman passes time by playing video games, and eventually, he gets up for a tea.
What a now, loser.
I know, dude. Fucking pound those beers, bro. I know. It's game time, baby.
Like, you just got an eye, dude. Like...
First thing I'm gonna do is like, oh man, I've been meaning to kill some fuckers on fucking online.
Well, no. He was playing like Galaga or some weird shit. Like, did you see what he was playing? Like, he wasn't even playing, like, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't playing anything recent or like...
Or good.
He was playing like Galaga, like, you know, like.
I feel like this is, like kind of a nerd, kind of a fucking dork.
Kind of a dweeb with like the prettiest house I've ever seen.
Right? Like, I mean, he got the experimental fucking eye thing, so.
I guess. Like, he must have gotten the fucking car insurance payout, like.
Some, yeah. He's balling, no, for sure. So, he returns from the kitchen to find his game controller far from where he originally left it, followed by the tea kettle crashing to the ground suddenly. This is Paranormal Activity shit right here. See? Ooh. There you go.
What could it be?
I don't know, but later, Herman sees what appears to be a figure lying beneath the sheets of his bed, but when he pulls back the sheets, the bed is empty.
I actually like this a little, like, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, no, it definitely is, you know, typical paranormal shit.
See, okay. Here's the thing. It's like, there's so many, like, little pieces of this that I like from, like, a narrative standpoint or from, like the effects. Like, there's parts of it that I do really enjoy. But then, like, for some reason, this just comes up really short for me.
I think it's because Herman sucks.
He's just annoying.
He's not a good lead. He's not a good
lead. Yeah. Well, no. Okay. So, a little bit of trivia. Someone else was supposed to play the main kid, was to play Herman.
Oh.
But... he couldn't, or something happened, and then they were like, well, Adam, get in there, champ. Like,
is it your movie, bruh?
Yeah, this is your thing. Like, and oh, yeah.
Poor Adam Wingard. I mean,
which was funny because I didn't really know what he looked like until now, even though we covered what was the thing that we covered that he did? You're Next?
You're Next, yeah. You're Next.
And everything else in between that he did, which was, this is the first time I've actually ever seen him. And I was like, you kind of look like a douchebag.
Kinda, right? But yeah, at the same time, it's like, I didn't know it was him beforehand. I probably would have given him a little more credit. So I was assuming it was a normal ass actor.
Nope.
I feel kind of bad.
Nope. Eh. It's the director.
Well, what can you do? Anyways, so Herman then finds himself face to face with a bleeding man who appears to be dead, causing him to flee to the restroom for safety. Okay. After phoning his doctor to complain about what happened, Herman emerges from the bathroom and encounters the man once more. This time, with a young girl who also appears to be fucking dead. Oh, shit. Returning to the bathroom, Herman is disturbed by repeated banging on the door and ends up sleeping in the bathtub overnight. Oh, this is after some... This is one hell of a tea there, buddy. Now... The next morning, Herman emerges from the bathroom as everything seems to be normal, albeit his room is in more disarray than the night before. Quite the tea bender.
Jesus. Hey, there was Everclear in that tea.
Oh my gosh.
I'm kidding.
Hardcore. Now, later, the red-haired girl from the hospital appears at his door and requests to be let in, as she too is experiencing a similar situation here. Now... I don't know what's going on. My brain's just dumb.
Are you feeling okay?
I'm feeling loopy, dude. I don't know what's going on. I'm sober as fuck.
No, I know. This is right before COVID, like, takes you out. That's why I'm just like, I was very loopy before that I died, so.
Oh, no. Not good. Well, we'll figure it out. All right. So, giving her name as Clarissa, she explains it all that she was born deaf. I can't believe you didn't write that one in there. Woo!
Damn. All right. That was good.
Clarissa explains that she was born deaf and had cochlear, right?
Yep.
Yeah, cochlear implant installed in her ear, giving Clarissa
a cochlear ear.
Given her the ability to hear frequencies, new frequencies, including ghosts of dead people.
Okay, so dead people exist on a specific frequency, question mark?
I guess. But I mean, like, yeah, okay. You know what? We're just going to take it. It's experimental cochlear.
It's cochlear.
Cochlear, no.
Stop it. No, because then I'm going to actually say it one time and everyone's going to be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Lady, what is... Yeah, dude, don't you know anything?
No, I don't. I don't know anything. I'm so sorry.
I didn't hear you. My cochlear is not working.
I have really bad cochlears.
Yeah, I need an experimental cochlear. Oh, fun. You know what? Also, my fan's off because it interferes with the mic, so I think I'm also getting, like, hotboxed in here. I'm getting a little warm. But anyways, Herman suggests removing the implant to make the ghost go away. But Clarissa says that doing so will keep Herman from seeing the ghosts. As Clarissa claims that the ghosts will get stronger and more dangerous the longer one pays attention to them, an overweight, underclad man appears directly behind her. Oh, no. Now, Herman alerts her to his presence, but Clarissa says that she knows he is there, and that he is her uncle, dun, 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 who, according to her, wasn't a nice person.
Dun, dun, dun!
Bitch. Okay, so, Clarissa then initiates some good old lovemaking with Herman to divert his attention from the ghosts. Now,
titties here, too.
Titties here. Front and center, POV titties.
You know, POV. Usually you got POV titties.
You got POV titties. Usually that's a Google away, but this time it is free on Tubi, people.
Yeah, in a horror film.
Now, sometime later, Herman awakens and sees Clarissa sleeping on his couch.
And he's on the floor? Like, how, like...
He's not a cuddler, dude. It's Herman Middleton. I don't even think he fucking got her going. To be honest, like, he was the tired one. She's like, I'm just gonna sit on the couch, fucking...
Damn, that's brutal and probably true.
right? So, Herman finds the young girl in his bed and flees before witnessing Clarissa being dragged into the pool by an unseen entity. Despite Herman's best efforts to save her, Clarissa drowns.
Those are some shitty best efforts.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot swim for shit.
Mm-mm. No, that reading the sentence finds the young girl in his bed. Just the young girl from earlier is haunting him. Nothing weird.
No, yeah, super weird. like, oh, just a dead child in my bed. Nothing to see here, guys. But also, like, I love that the second she stops struggling and she just does, like, the wide-eyed thing, like, sure, eyes flutter. Like, just because someone does that number doesn't mean that they're dead. It just means...
They're still salvageable as a person.
They're still salvageable. It just means that their lungs are currently filled with water, and now you have to take them out of the water and do CPR.
There's more work to be done, Herman. But I don't know.
He just gives up. He's just like, nah, I already tapped that ass. I'm done.
Yeah, right? And she went in fucking limp dick, no orgasm, and just got drowned.
Yeah. Man. Poor Clarissa. Wow. What a death. That's so she sad.
I know, one of the worst deaths we've talked about on this
truly
thing,
ever like, on this entire bad... podcast.
Dude, she slept on the couch.
Yeah, they didn't walk like four steps. Like his room is right there.
Anyways, weird. Running back through the house in an
I'm sorry, what? This did not make it into the outline. But also, like the moment where he goes into the bathroom, and he's like, "I need a copy of that tape." Like what?
Oh my God, Pervin Herman. That's right,
Pervin Herman.
Oh. He was like, yeah, dude, what, you want that fucking 30-second YouTube short right there? We'll get it to you.
You want that Vine? Sure.
That Vine? Yeah. You know, TikTok extended their time. I don't think you need it. You can get it done in the first round.
You want that 6 seconds, dude? Like, sure thing.
Hey, which you don't have to call it gone in 60 seconds, buddy.
Which is so funny, considering that he was just like, what, do you guys watch me, like, take a shit or whatever? Like, and now he wants to use it for his own nefarious, like, spank bank? Like, come on.
I know. Oh, this guy. It's fucking. You know what? I'm liking it more than now that we're, like, talking shit about it. This is good.
Isn't that how this usually happens?
It really is. So, running through the house in an attempt to escape the ghosts, Herman, yes, once again, locks himself in the bathroom, his safe space.
Why does he do that?
I don't know, dude. Ghosts can't fucking... They're like, oh, the bathroom, ooh! And he uses a razor to cut out the implant. Ooh. Oh, in a kind of brutal, kind of nasty scene.
It's pretty nasty.
Yeah. So the ghosts of Clarissa and her uncle appear in the bathroom as Herman tries to escape it, but he unwittingly runs directly into the ghosts of the man and young girl, with the former throttling the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Yes. Now... The man grabs the implant and shoves it deep into Herman's throat, presumably killing his ass. So,
yay.
There you go. Dead Herman. Yeah.
That's phase one clinical trials.
Poor Herman. Ooh, yeah. Now it's time. Let's go back to the tapes. Back in tape 49. Now we're back in the story, the frame story. Aisha calls Larry into the room where they discuss the tape's legitimacy. Larry tells Aisha to continue viewing the tapes, bitch. She continues playing Kyle's video where he explains that the tape must be watched in a proper sequence, quote, to affect you. Aisha finds a new tape, inserts it into the VCR, and then proceeds to get her watch on.
Yep.
Here we go. Tape two, which
a
actually...
Ride in the Park.
I fucking love this one.
This one's really good.
This one's so good.
It's very sad.
I know. I was so astounded. Like, well, obviously we're going to talk about it, but it definitely hit.
Yes. This was directed by Eduardo Sanchez and Greg Hale.
Blair Witch.
Oh, yes.
Yay.
And was written by Jamie Nash.
Don't know Jamie Nash, but Blair Witch.
The cast, we have Jay Saunders as Biker, Bette Cassett as Screaming Girl, Dave Coigne as Good Samaritan Guy, Wendy Donegan as Good Samaritan Girl, and Devin Brookshire as Biker's Girlfriend.
Devin Brookshire.
Oh, man. Another side note.
Yeah, let's go.
Going to the Ren Faire with Enrique, dressed up as Gandalf, was like traveling with a fucking celebrity.
With the real Gandalf, right?
Yeah. It straight up, though. Like, it was like traveling with for real, actual Gandalf. Like, from minute one to us walking away, people were just like yelling shit at Enrique or like... wanting to take photos with him or just yelling quotes at him.
Dude, he was the belle of the fucking ball. That was fantastic. He was. I love that.
And all the while, he was just like, this shit's in my hair, or this shit is in my face, like the wig. And I was just like, how does it feel to be a girl for the day? You're wearing a dress, you have long hair, and you're getting catcalled.
I know, right?
Like,
just because I dress this way.
Just because I dress this way doesn't mean I'm asking for it. And he was just like, honestly, I do not know how you guys do this. This fucking sucks. I'm like, why do you think my hair is as short as it is? I can't stand it either. And he's like, no, really, how do you like sleep? And I'm like, I sleep with it up. Oh, like everyone else.
Oh, what a time.
It was so funny. Like, I like the whole time, like, people would like make eye contact and like just yell quotes at him. People like, and at first, like the first person to do it, he was like very confused, but mm-hmm. after by like the second person, it was like he was rolling with the punches and like,
oh, he was Gandalf after
yeah,
a while.
After sure. a while, like, I was he was very into it, and he was yeah. Well, if someone was yelling like a quote, he would say the next quote. Like, he would just, cuz oh. he knows like the lore so well.
Yeah, it's Reeks.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. We gotta bring, you know, for one of the side ones, be like, Reeks, let's do a Tolkien lore fucking episode, man. Just break it down, baby.
Oh, I think he would love that. That would be so fun.
Or, you know, the horror of Lord of the Rings. Like, you know, talk about those elements.
Like, the scary, yeah. Talk about, ooh, like, the Nazgul or something.
Ooh, see? There you go. Okay, that was just, you know, a little brainstorming there, but for listeners who don't know, like, our friend Enrique, he's a big Lord of the Rings fan, just with Gandalf. He killed it at the Ren Fair.
Huge Lord of the Rings fan. Huge. Like, I was a big Lord of the Rings fan. He, like, blows me out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Movie time! Zombies!
Zombies! Oh my god! So, after answering, I like that in the plot synopsis, they have names, but in the breakdown,
yeah,
in the cast, they don't. Anyway.
They're like, fucking guy.
Yeah, good Samaritan guy, good Samaritan girl. After answering a call from his girlfriend Amy, cyclist Mike Sullivan affixes a camera to his helmet and goes on a bike ride through the woods of a state park. Seems simple, innocent yeah. enough.
They have like a very animated conversation, like, I love you, blah, blah, blah. Okay,
I know, just hearing blah, 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 blah. Like a couple that loves each other that much, I was just like, okay.
Death. Death upon everybody.
Death upon everybody. Suddenly, Mike runs into a hysterical, injured, blood-covered woman, begging him to help her boyfriend before she begins vomiting blood. And he's a good person, because he immediately is, like, calling for help and trying to find this guy.
Yeah, they act like normal people so far.
Yeah, so far they're just acting like genuine people, which is surprising for a horror film. Mike then sees several zombies approaching them before the woman suddenly turns into a zombie herself and pretty much tears poor Mike's throat out.
No fun.
It was very gruesome. After he manages to kill the woman, Mike staggers through the woods, heavily bleeding, before he, too, vomits blood, collapses, and apparently dies.
Yeah, seemingly. It's like, oh, cool, bit over.
Done. That was fast. A pair of bikers, a man and a woman, come across him and attempt to call for help. But Mike reanimates, attacks, and kills the man before proceeding to watch the woman run into the woods. He does manage to get a bite in on her as well. He begins devouring the man as the woman returns, having become a zombie as well. She joins Mike in devouring the man before he, too, reanimates. And this is just some beautiful practical effects.
It's actually really, really solid work. And it just, I don't know what it is, but even the way it's framed and, like, the actual first-person aspect of it is done super well.
The way that they break it down, or the way that I think each story tries to play with, like, how can we tell, like, a found footage or first-person horror story... mm-hmm. They're all very creative, in yes. my opinion.
You know what? Creative and the subject matter itself is really fun.
Yeah.
So, like, when you yeah.
All the themes for these. Yeah, all the themes are, like, yeah. So, this like, I like that each vignette kind of has its own theme to it, and, like, it just kind of gets versatile. I enjoy it.
Yeah, no, they're strong themes, like, the whole way through. Even if I despise some of them, they're still kind of fun in a way.
Agreed. So, Hearing a noise in the distance, the three zombies head off towards it. The source of their noise happens to be a young girl's birthday party, and this is just sad. This is just sad.
This part made me so happy. I don't know why I was.
You were just like, destroy the children's happiness?
I was like, I'd never seen anything like this. This is gonna be fucking crazy. Oh. Like, in my mind, I was like, oh my god, are they going there? Holy shit.
Fuck yeah, they are.
I loved it.
The zombie-fied trio invade the party, killing several people, some of whom reanimate to attack others. This was actually one of the most stressful parts of the movie for me because it's like a dad and like two children like running to this van. And yeah. He was like, are they going to kill a kid? Are they going to straight up kill children? And we're going to have to watch it?
That's kind of where I was at too. And I was like, whoa.
And I don't know why I was thinking that, because I've definitely seen this movie before, but, but it's been a while, so I was like, I don't remember a child dying, but I was a bit of a fucking edgelord when I watched this movie for the first time, so maybe.
Yeah, maybe you're just like, oh, fucking kid, wait, whatever, oh, whatever,
who gives a shit, like, mm-hmm. You know? But, yeah, I don't know. So... trying to attack a man and his three daughters, there's three of them, in their car, Mike notices his bloodied reflection in the car window, which seems to subdue his aggressive behavior. It's like a bird in front of a mirror. When he accidentally pocket dials Amy, he is shocked back to a semi-conscious state upon hearing her voice. This is so sad.
This is so tragic. Like, this, I was like, no, Mike, no.
This is so sad. She's just like, hello? Hello?
But even, Mike. Even like, his head movements and, like, just something about the way they do the camera, you feel it.
Well, you can tell that he doesn't, like, he's, like, kind of realizes what, one, what happened, and two, what he's doing. Like, mm-hmm. He realizes what he's doing. And, he's just like, she's like, oh, you must have pocket dialed me. Well, see you soon. I love you. And it's just like, this, like, she is so, like, it's just, like, disgustingly in love. And it's just,
I know. It's a lot, but also, it kind of hurts.
Of course it hurts. It's supposed to hurt. Of course. The whole time, I was rooting for them. And of course, obviously, like, you know, it just isn't great.
Well, I was rooting for to kill everybody at the party until the emotional fucking punch came. I was like, what? No! No!
Emotional damage. Emotional damage.
Miss TikTok over here. All right.
Regaining some of his humanity, Mike kills himself with a discarded shotgun with a fantastic shot of him shooting himself in the head and the GoPro that was strapped to his head shooting up into the sky, doing several flips, and then landing next to his very, very fucked up head.
That's right. You hear that fucking popo? Jesus, there.
Oh, my God.
Okay. No, it's okay. They know. We're just yelling at the popo.
Oh, my God. Anyway, back in tape 49 in the frame story, Larry reenters the room to find Aisha staring at the TV in an hypnotized state with her nose bleeding. After being woken from her trance, Aisha says she has a migraine. Larry leaves to find medicine as a seemingly entranced Aisha proceeds to pick up a new tape and insert it into the VCR. As she watches, the figure from earlier crawls out from the shadows and watches her.
Oh no.
So,
oh no.
This whole thing I kind of love because, one, I get chronic migraines and I've never had a nosebleed that bad from it.
Wait, you get nosebleed from migraines?
No, I mean, you can, but I never have. I mean, I'm sure anything's possible, but if you're getting nosebleeds from migraines, I'm going to suggest you go to a doctor.
Yeah, but they got a case to solve.
No, but I do just get nosebleeds just from existing as a person.
Interesting. It's been a little bit since I got one, but...
Really?
Know. Yeah.
This last, like, dry spell that we had where it was, like, really warm, like, that sudden dip from being, like, decent weather to, like, really warm... Mm-hmm. I had a nosebleed in my sleep.
Oh, shit.
I woke up and I was like, great.
Bloody awesome. Pillow.
Well, I just woke up and it's basically just like a puddle of dried blood on my face.
Oh, fun. Oh, no.
Huh?
That's just, I had a gruesome visual of that. Like, yeah, dried blood, I don't know what about it. It's just, eek.
Yeah.
Eek.
Well, you know me. Yeah.
you're bitch not, when it comes to blood.
You're bad with gore and needles and just blood.
Yeah, it's surprisingly love horror. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, but moving right along to probably the shining star of this movie.
Yeah, this I think is the segment. So this was directed. Oh, this is called Safe Haven. It is directed by Timo Tjahjanto, and Gareth Evans, who did Godzilla. So yeah, there you go. Oh, and Rogue One.
Wow, yeah. We have some surprising heavy hitters in this.
Wait, let me just double check, because it was Evans or Edwards? Evans. Yeah, okay, Gareth Evans. Blah, blah, blah. So I'm not an asshole.
I'm not a dick.
Oh no, he's totally not I totally did the wrong guy. It's not him at all. He did like the Raid and all Impossible and all the other stuff, so no, I'm wrong.
Okay,
Gareth Edwards.
A little bit more right.
Yes, okay, cool.
God damn it, Anthony.
Scratch that. I was bullshitting, but I knew enough to go look. Now, this is starring Fashri Albar as Adam, Hannah Al-Rashid as Lena, Oka Antara as Malik, and Andrew Suleiman as Joni. Also, Espi Kusnadanar as Father. Hey, I did pretty good. All right. So, now, in Indonesia, a film crew composed of four members, Malik the interviewer, Lena the producer, Malik's fiance, Malik's best friend Adam, douche bro, and Johnny the cameraman. They infiltrate a cult known as Paradise Gates in the hope of shooting a documentary about their mysterious activities with numerous cameras, both displayed and hidden. So, I like that the pitch was like, hey, listen, like, we're gonna show you guys, we just want to show what's happening, we're not gonna have any narrative here, just let us do your thing, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And they're like, fine. You know, you pitched us, you're good. Now, the film crew are invited inside the cult compound by a woman known as Madam? How did they say it? It was Madam, right? Mm-hmm. It was Madam? Okay. Inside, they find the walls adorned in bizarre symbols, school children in classrooms, and women dressed in white garments. So, cult 101 kind of stuff, you know? Yeah. Now, the crew meets with and interviews the leader of the cult, a man known as Father. During the interview, Lena becomes ill and steps out, and it's very abrupt when this happens. It's really like
sudden.
But I kind of knew what was going to happening, but the first time I saw it, I'm like, oh, they're not going to go there, are they? But
I also like that the second a woman experiences nausea in a film, everyone immediately is like, oh, you're pregnant.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Right. So now, while searching for a spare camera battery, Malik overhears a private conversation between Lena and Adam, where Lena reveals that she is pregnant with Adam's child. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, the drama.
Jerry.
Here's a crowbar. You guys figure this one out. That's my Jerry Springer voice. All right. In the basement. You know, you need to learn to love each other. So, Malik is a good man. All right, I'm gonna stop. In the basement, Adam finds a woman with her womb carved out and strapped to a chair. Very gruesome.
This is just the beginning of the bloodbath, by the way.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The woman awakens and begins screaming and convulsing, causing him to run away like a little bitch.
Yeah, now, he's just like, no, I'm not going to help this woman. I'm going to run away.
It's like, oh, she's gone. I'm fine. Let's go. You know, Adam and the other fucking guy, fucking Middleton, had similar vibes, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
Yeah, Mr. Herman. Now, Herman. While Father is being interviewed, a bell chimes, and he suddenly announces the quote-unquote time of reckoning over the intercom.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, no, that's time of reckoning. It's lunchtime. That's what they say at lunch. Now, the cultists begin a mass suicide via poison and gunshots. Thank you, Jim Jones. While Johnny and has his throat cut by Father after repeatedly interrupting the announcement. So, yikes. Not a good time for that. Bad day for Johnny. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Lena is abducted by several women in surgical apparel, and Malik is shot dead. by one of the cult members. Bad time for Malik. Now,
super bad time for Malik.
So it's a bad day. As Adam attempts to rescue Lena, an explosion knocks him back. And after watching a person crawl across the ceiling, he stands and attempts to advance into the fiery room, only to be intercepted by Father. Oh, covered shit. In blood, with the cult symbol written on his body. What?
I said,
no. It was nasty. It's a nasty scene overall. And, of course, Father then proceeds to explode into a cloud of blood and organs.
Yeah.
Yeah, the great reckoning, yeah. Now, Adam finds Lena, who has the cult symbol carved into her skin, placed on an altar. Not a great time. He kills Madam, but is unable to save Lena, watching as the horned demon the cult worships, which resembles the, what is it?
Baphomet.
Tears its way out of her body, and it goes 0 to 100.
What were you gonna say?
No, I was gonna say Baphomet. I just want some clarification.
Oh, okay, yeah, Baphomet.
Yeah. As Adam attempts to flee, he is attacked by the previously deceased cultists and school children, including Johnny and Malik, who one of them has a very big score to settle,
yep.
Who have all turned into zombie-like ghouls. More zombies, hey! As he finally manages to get outside and into the car, he drives off only to be rammed by the demon and seriously injured. I thought that was fun. Only because I think Adam deserves the worst. As he crawls out of the car's wreckage, the demon looks down on Adam before calling him Papa. The revelation that the demon is, in fact, his child drives Adam insane. He laughs hysterically before the camera malfunctions. And,
okay.
Ugh.
So, I didn't remember, I remembered a lot of this, but I didn't remember all of it. And I was, kind of narrating to myself as I was watching this because I think I'm hilarious. And when the baby demon Baphomet, tears its way out of this poor woman, mm-hmm. and it kind of makes eye contact with Adam, the terrible man. I kind of stopped and I was just like, goo goo gaga. A demon voice, and I'm really glad that I part of me remembered this because I think I was making the connection to the Papa thing, because it's just so funny. It's so unhinged. It's so good. I love it so much.
It's perfectly in tone too, because this one's batshit. It's so batshit, but I love just how you're like, oh okay, yeah, a demon would just fucking say that. Why not? Why fucking not?
Why fucking...
Baby wants his pinky.
Right.
Oh.
It's so silly. I love, yeah. So, anyway.
Diaper needs changing. Oh, good times. Great.
Story.
We're having too much fun with that.
I'm a demon, baby.
I know, right? He just clarifies. Oh, that's great. And then we have to go back to these fucking guys.
Oh, yeah.
Tape 49, baby, let's go. Back in the frame story. Larry re-enters the room with medicine, only to discover that Aisha is fucking dead, having killed herself with the gun. Oh, boy.
Yeah, maybe not leave your girlfriend in the... What was that?
Oh, that was fucking my Xbox. Wow, I left it on. My bad.
Okay, I was just that sounded like an Xbox.
Yeah, no, a stupid Cordova signed in.
Oh.
Ruining the fucking thing. I know. A frequent guest of the podcast would only, of course, come back in the gaming way.
But I love that he's just she refuses to leave, and he's like, well, I guess I have no other option but to leave you here. What?
Yeah.
For me to go down the street and get you ibuprofen. That's going to help a migraine.
Can't you just, take the ibuprofen in the car and you guys finish the tapes when you get back?
I don't know.
Not a good guy.
I don't think it's him being a bad guy. I think it's him being oblivious to the fact that she's obviously under some kind of spell. Or, in some kind of, distress, obviously. I don't know.
You know, they're going to therapy for this stuff. It just happened. They didn't get processed through where they needed to before this all happened, you know?
Yeah.
His inattentiveness. Larry fucked up.
Yeah.
Now.
Be better.
Be better, Larry. Larry picks up the tape, inserts into the VCR, and he anxiously watching this bitch. Let's go.
Did you say that there was a VHS tape with the word watch written on it?
Nope. There's a VHS tape with the word watch written on it in lipstick as it lies beside Aisha's dead body.
Dun, dun, dun.
Next step. Let's fucking go. My least favorite segment.
This is your least favorite?
It was my least favorite, yeah.
I mean, it was fine.
Yeah.
All right. We're talking about Slumber Party Alien Abduction. Woo!
Yay, let's go.
This was directed by Jason Eisner. It was written by John Davis and Jason Eisner. We have Rylan Logan as Gary. We have Samantha Gracie as Jen. Cohen King as Randy. Zach Ford as Sean. And Josh Ingram as Danny. And finally, Jeremy Saunders as Zach.
The whitest actor names to regular character name ratio I think we've ever had.
Yeah, Jeremy spelt J-E-R-E-M-I-E. We have...
Rylan. We have Rylan Logan. Mr. Two first names, and they're also two absurd white-ass first names, and he's Gary.
Yeah.
This is great. Yep. This is good.
We have Cohen as Randy.
Cohen and Zach Ford. Oh, that guy's gonna CEO someday.
Yeah, probably. Playing Sean with a W.
When this boy meets world. Oh my god. This segment with the Boy Meets World cast would have been fantastic.
Oh, you would have liked it better?
Would have liked it way more. Oh, okay. Give me Sean Hunter, Topanga, Corey Matthews, the whole batch, dude.
Yeah,
Angela is the one token black character. Perfect.
Jesus. Anyway, brothers, Gary and Randy attach a camera to their Yorkshire Terrier tank. So creative.
Fucking white people, Jesus.
To create videos at their lakeside house, which means they just have a house on a lakeside, which...
It's getting...
It's so white.
It's so getting more and more upper middle class as we keep going. This is like great.
High upper middle class. Their parents leave on a romantic getaway, leaving them...
Is it the Hamptons?
It must be. It has to be. Or the Keys. It has to, their parents leave on a romantic getaway, leaving them a list of chores in the process, because those are going to get done.
Yeah.
After their parents leave, Gary and Randy invite their friends, Sean and Danny, to the house so the group can harass the brothers' older sister, Jen, her boyfriend, Zach, and her friends.
Oh, they're fucking... Let's find them, fucker. These are the worst fucking kids.
So weird. Anyway, like, this is like a family that is far too close in so many respects.
Mm-hmm.
While the group is swimming at a nearby lake, ambushing Jen and her friends with squirt guns filled with piss, they all fail to notice a gray alien hiding beneath the water. Which is, so many people's worst fear. Like, someone had to have noticed at some point.
I mean... Kind of a creepy visual, but also
it's creepy visual.
Yeah, these are the kind of kids that would like teabag each other while they're sleeping, but also kind of be into it. Like these kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
I fucking got you, bro. You go back to sleep though. I'm gonna go to sleep. Just in case you want revenge. It's good. It's not gay.
It's not gay. No homo.
But I totally teabagged you for like a long time, and I. Do you have any tissues? I
kind of like it. Jeez. Anyway, later that night, the group are watching their sister and her boyfriend fuck, and decide to run into the room, blaring loud music and flashing lights. Now, I do kind of find this funny, only because little kids are obnoxious as shit, and I do find it really funny. I do think it's weird that they were all, like it's like her brothers and, like, their friends are all watching me, like, your sister's hot. It's just like, shut up, man. All standing around watching her fuck. Also, why are you as a teenager fucking your boyfriend with your door open?
Yeah, what the shit? I don't know. They're all dumb. Fucking dumb.
If I were in that situation... I think my door would be closed and locked and with something underneath the handle to prevent situations like this. Not to say I was ever in this situation because I have boundaries with my siblings. I also wasn't fucking in high school.
Well, that and like, I generally fuck with the door closed. Like, generally speaking, unless I'm not fucking in a room. But even my car doors are closed.
I have my own apartment, so I can't say that. But regardless.
Oh, man. No, there's always the kitchen. Oh, never mind. Yeah, let's keep going. I was thinking of places I fucked before. I'm just like,
No, I was...
It was that table that one time.
No, I'm just more thinking, like, I have my own apartment. I can have sex wherever I'd like. But also, I'm 27 and, well, I will be 27. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a high schooler and I don't have to worry about, my kid brothers running into the room being like, woo!
Yeah.
Like, I literally, someone would be losing their life if that ever happened to me.
I wish they would have just pulled a Myers and made it normal, you know?
No.
pulled a little Michael Myers and be like, dude, it's fine, all right? It's just whatever. Right. We can deal with this situation. The kids with the squirt guns and the sister fucking, that's too much.
That's too much. So a deafening noise is heard, but the group does not notice. In retaliation, by the way, Jen and Zach attach another camera to Tank as they catch one of the children masturbating to a porno flick in the other room while all the other dudes are asleep.
Again, these kids.
They're just whacking it. It's...
They're like the Jackass generation. Like, these kids, yeah, straight up. Yeah. They're that.
They are... It's the Jackass generation. But it's also, like, the Jackass generation with middle-class white boys who think that they can get away with anything.
So half the Jackass cast, then.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But also, like... I have a fondness for a lot of the Jackass cast.
Oh, me too. I love them. But I also grew up in the era when kids, like, took that and was like, let's fucking go, like, take the thing down the stairs, bro. And I'm like, no, you guys are idiots. No, I'm sorry.
Don't they?
I can't get down with this.
No, yeah, I'm not down with it. They do this whole thing where she's like, we caught you jerking off.
Yes.
And this kid is just like, delete it. And it's a whole thing, and it does seem very embarrassing. But also, like, I will never, never, ever understand, like, why are you watching a pornography film anywhere near your friends?
Yeah,
The silence from you is deafening, Anthony Fuentes.
I'm like, 90s and early 2000s kids did this.
Never understand. I will never get it.
At a certain point, dude, stop doing this. But there's definitely a time when kids are like discovering porno, like, hey dude, I found this, and this isn't that bad, like, you know. Sure. I don't think they realize the significance of having boners next to each other. that comes later.
Okay.
But for a time in certain children's life,
listen,
that's how it works.
I can't say shit. Me and my friends to this day will send like super like filthy, filthy, filthy fantasy books to each other and be like, you should read this. Like, this has full-blown, like smut in it. You should read it.
Ooh. Okay, that sounds fun, though. No dudes are like... I mean, no, there are dudes that do that, but, like, most dudes don't do that.
Most, in my experience, typically, like, it's not weird when women just share, like, I don't know, send pornographic books to each other. It's not weird.
Yeah. what a weird aside we're on here. Yes. but teenage boys definitely, like, there's a porno era for sure, although it only lasts like a year. It's never a long time.
I can imagine it's something that, like, happens in the very, very beginning, and then it's like everyone quickly comes to their senses, no pun intended.
quickly comes
to their senses and realize, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't, like, be hard next to my friends.
Yeah. Just but, a thought. Hey, you live and you learn.
You live and da-da-da. You learn. Anyway, moving on. Afterwards, the same deafening noise from earlier is heard again as the power goes out. Seeing a figure outside the door, Zach goes to grab Gary and Randy's father's gun.
Oh, no. Kids with a gun. Great. This is going to go well.
Suddenly, Zach is grabbed by the alien from earlier, along with others of its kind who are revealed to be the cause of the disturbances. Mm. The aliens abduct the rest of the group, sealing them in their sleeping bags and attempting to drown them in the lake, which I think is kind of fun. Yeah. Only Gary, Randy, Jen, and Tank escape, running into the woods to hide. But Tank inadvertently alerts the aliens to their location by barking. Ugh.
Oh, this stupid, part made me so mad.
Stupid dog. The group run towards what they believe to be police lights and sirens, but it turns out to be a trap set by the aliens, who abduct Randy. poor Randy. Yeah,
poor stupid Randy.
Poor stupid Randy. Jen and Gary flee to a nearby barn where the aliens drag Jen away as Gary and Tank escape up a ladder. Again, it's just, it's all very fast-paced from this point
on.
It
is, yeah.
As the aliens close in on Gary, he is suddenly pulled into the air by the alien ship tractor beam. as Gary is pulled into the air, his grip loosens on Tank's leash, and Tank falls down the ladder to the floor, the impact loosening the camera from his back. Mortally injured by the fall, Tank whimpers as he and the camera both slowly die.
Oh.
The dog dies in this, dude. How fucking sad.
Yeah, I was like, oof. Way to just, like, top off the movie, you fucks.
Right? Well, it's also like, I will say, I do think this gets a bad rap.
Well, this segment?
Yes.
I mean, you know what? To me, I think having went through it with you right now, I can identify what doesn't work is the characters, and it's too short.
It is very short.
Better characters, and if you can just expound on them a little more, it'd be great. Great concept. It
focused way too much on them pranking each other than, like, terror from the aliens.
Yeah, that and, like, the drama, I feel like this concept deserved a little more, like, actual drama instead of just, like, kid drama.
Instead of, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it, like, once, like, shit, like, the house started shaking, then it could have, I needed to see some more terrorized children is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, definitely, right? Because it's just too fast. Too fast, and the characters are too basic, I think, for me. So it's a tougher to enjoy. It's kind of, like, over before it gets going.
Yeah. Yeah, it's over before it gets going. Great way to put it.
Mm-hmm. But speaking of over, we're here now.
Yes, we are.
After watching the tape, Larry watches the webcam footage and sees Kyle explain that he and his mother want to make their own tape.
That's weird. Don't say you want to make a tape with your mom.
Oh, together. So, Kyle then attempts suicide on camera by shooting himself through his jaw, but survives with his lower jaw shattered in the process.
It's gross.
It's fucking gross. And runs off moments before Larry and Aisha enter the house. As Larry watches it, an undead Aisha suddenly rises and attacks him.
Makes
in self-defense. Yeah. Larry breaks her neck and rushes into the other room as Aisha chases after him on all fours.
How does he know how to do that? Like, this ending makes no fucking sense.
They have to end the movie, Alex.
I just don't care. Like, literally, they could have ended it so many other ways. Like, they could have kept this whole, like, him shooting himself in the jaw, and then, like, he could have killed everyone, and, like, it could have been fine. But no, they had to go through, like, why is she coming back to life? What, like, I don't understand. Whatever.
They loved monsters in this one of the...
They really, really did. Yeah.
There's monsters up and down this bitch. So, Larry hides in a closet and shoots Aisha in the face when she finds him. And Larry hears a strange gurgling sound and explores the closet, only to find Kyle has been hiding in the closet the whole time. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh my god.
Oh, Kyle lunges at Larry and strangles him to death. Afterward, Kyle gives the camera a thumbs up, revealing the plan he and his mother came up with being a shining success before turning the camera off. And
cut to credits.
Movie!
That's the movie, guys.
That was the movie. That was fun.
We had so many asides in that. That was a delight. I feel like I just watched the movie with you.
I know, right? I mean, I actually rewatched it, so it's like it's a good one. I really like it.
I think this was very fun. We have a lot of discussion and not a lot of time, so let's just jump right into it. Thoughts?
Okay. Thoughts for me?
Mm-hmm.
This was great. I really enjoyed this movie. I did say that I had two segments that were my least favorite. Really, the only one I didn't like was probably the first one.
Ooh, how the tides change.
Yeah, now that we talked about it, I'm like, it only because the first one's kind of lame in spots. Where I feel like the last one's stupid and short and kind of dumb, but it's got explosions and aliens and shit. I'm good with that. I'm enough entertained that, okay, that's happening and I get some stimulation. The first one was kind of like, what the fuck going on? Middleton, what the fuck? Like, it's kind of like that. But the middle two are so solid in compared to the other ones. Like, they just elevates the entire movie, like, considerably. And they're both really good. Obviously, the third one is like the fucking that has the crown.
It gets the most screen time, and I think that's why it's most widely regarded as like the better one, because it has the most time to flesh out the entire idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. No, I think you're right, and I think the other two segments suffered for it, unfortunately. And they kept the movie at a much brisker pace, because the OG one was much longer.
It was 2 hours, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was
some change, wasn't it?
I think so, because I remember looking back at the outline, and we were just like, what is up with this godforsakenly, ridiculously long movie?
Yes, yeah, there was a lot going on. And this one, it's breezy, but again, I think because it's breezy, the last segment does unfortunately suffer for it. Now, the zombie one was fast also, but it was kind of perfect. Like, the pace was exactly where it needed to be. You got that everything you needed, done.
A perfect short story taken to film.
Yes, I agree. I definitely agree. Yes, 100%. I mean, honestly, your thoughts, please, because I'm just going to keep gushing about like what I love about this shit, because I really think it's a good one.
I have a very nostalgic attachment to this. Mm-hmm. This was another one of those movies that I watched during college when I was discovering horror films, and I was kind of just like digesting every found footage film I could get my hands on. That involved mm-hmm. watching VHS, VHS 2, and VHS Viral. This is my favorite of all three. Spoiler alert.
Okay. I haven't seen Viral, so.
Okay, yeah. Viral, it's weird. Like, it's I feel like it kind of deserves to stand on its own. Like, it's definitely in the franchise in terms of format. Like, same, mm-hmm. like, main narrative with vignettes, like, the whole deal. But it's a lot more, like, sci-fi-y. Hence the name Viral. Okay. I'm really excited to talk about it at some point, so if you guys like this episode, let me know, and I will make it happen, but I'm a big fan of the VHS franchise. I think it is very underrated, and I think it gets a lot more shit than it should. I think it is something for everyone, perfectly honest.
I can see that. I really can. Yeah. Because this movie really elevated it for me, actually.
It sucks because it's like, I kind of feel like you should watch the first one to kind of get an idea, because there are some really good segments in the first one. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I think if you're like a seasoned enough, like, horror fan, just watch the second one. Like, I think yeah. you're going to get a lot out of it. This, like I said, has like a 70 something approval rating. Like, this one is actually pretty widely regarded as decent.
Yeah, that astonished me too when I saw the outline, because I knew I liked it.
Yeah.
But then I was like, other people like it. Oh, so yeah. It's not just me here. Absolutely. Not just me being the horror fucking nerd, you know?
No, it's not you just being a nerd about it. Like, I can see when people liked it too. But yeah, so that's my thoughts. I'm quite a fan, and it is just a nostalgic. I don't want to say it's a happy one, because it's like kind of difficult to watch it at parts, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's rank our favorites vignettes from, or rate the vignettes from most favorite to least favorite. Excuse me.
Okay. Well, I think you got mine. Least favorite, definitely. It's going to go to the first segment, which I forgot the title. I'm going to go back up.
Oh, clinical trial phase one or phase one
clinical trial. Yeah, phase one clinical trial, boo. Tape, or not tape, but slumber party alien abduction is
next.
Yeah, next. And then, obviously, fucking zombies. A Ride in the Park, number two for top spot, and top spot goes to Safe Haven.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you did phase one clinical trials at the bottom? Or?
Yeah, bottom.
Okay.
Bottom.
I think we have the same rate. We have the same scale, I think.
Oh, okay.
I actually, let me think. Yeah. So phase one clinical trials is my least favorite. Followed by a ride in the park and Slumber Party Alien Abduction are really like on par for me. Like, I really like them both. Like,
okay,
not necessarily in like artistry.
Yeah, but you got the same entertainment value out of both of them
in different ways. Like, I would mm-hmm. say Slumber Party Alien Abduction is like really schlocky and just fun for me. I don't know. And yeah, I mean,
that makes sense.
I mean, you also know, like, me and alien films are just tight as fuck.
Oh, I know. And they do aliens pretty good.
Yeah. Their aliens are scary. Their alien designs are good. Like, I don't know. They're good. And they do a good menacing alien. What can I say? So I'm going to keep A Ride in the Park and Alien and Slumber Party Alien Abduction tied.
Okay.
And that makes sense. Safe Haven is going to be my top.
I mean, the good rankings. I would say the thing that really elevates A Ride in the Park is the emotional punch at the end. I feel like a lot of segments don't have that, and it's kind of nice to see.
To see, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and especially in this franchise, mm-hmm. which everybody's kind of despicable. You know, yeah. going back to the first one. Oh yeah, that's another question. Actually, I'd like to know on from your front.
Sure.
This is a lot more widely, as we just talked about, it's more widely regarded than its predecessor. What's the big distinction from this one and the predecessor? Why do you think that is? As a fan of the franchise.
Well, VHS came out in, let me take a look before I forget, so I don't totally speak out of my ass. VHS came out in 2012, and so this came out shortly thereafter. I think they kind of took what they learned from VHS and were like, okay, how can we make this better? And I think the runtime was one of the things that they improved on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 116 minutes. How long is that?
An hour? That's just shy of 2 hours.
Yeah, so that makes sense. And then I think the... Because they tried doing this with... they did in, because I'm looking at the vignettes, so for those of you mm-hmm. who don't remember, we got Amateur Night, we got Second Honeymoon, Tuesday the 17th, The Sick Thing That Happened to Emily When She Was Younger, and 10-31-98. Yeah, those, I mean, I just think they're all kind of a little bit lackluster, and they all kind of have a similar note.
Yeah, they I think similar notes a very good point. Like, they all were dour, and they were all, like, had just, again, characters that were, like, nobody was, you're not cheering for anyone. And it was, I don't know, there was no peaks and valleys, really. It was very consistent, which is fine, but you do that for almost 2 hours, and it kind of gets exhausted.
Well, everyone was also consistently shitty.
Yeah. They were there, where one was bad, they were all bad, and where one was good, they were all good, but to varying amounts of good. I mean,
like, the people. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, everyone was, like, they were just, like, bad people. Like, in Amateur Night, we have people who are pretty much just trying to take advantage of a weirdo, mm-hmm. which, obviously, it turns on them, and she rips
Succubus
off their...
Succubus baby!
Yeah. And then, yeah, we have another kind of... succubus vampire story in Second Honeymoon. I don't know. It's odd. And then, let's see what Tuesday the 17th was. Like, a lot of these I don't even remember.
I like Tuesday the 17th. That one was fun.
Which one was that one?
That was the one in the woods. With the fucking the glitch.
Oh, yeah. See, that one was cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Sick Thing That Happened to Emily When She Was Younger was the alien one. Because mm-hmm. they have to have an alien one, I guess.
They always gotta have the alien one, yeah.
And that one wasn't... Yeah, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. They all kind of one note to me in comparison. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk too much about the first one. Go listen to our VHS episode for us to tear those ones apart, because boy, howdy, did we.
Yeah, we definitely did.
But I think I would say VHS 2 is it's more widely liked because of the runtime and because of the overall quality of the vignettes. I also think it has one less vignette.
You're right. It has one less. And doesn't Viral have one less than this one?
Viral has... That's a good question. Let's take a look-see. Wait, Viral or 94?
Oh, I'm not sure. I thought one of them had one less than this one right here, but I could be tripping.
No, I think they realize, like, four is their good number.
Ah, that makes sense. Yeah, because they just went a little hard.
Yeah, the first one had five. Like, they were like, how many can we jam pack into this?
Let's keep those butts in the seats.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, okay. So we can definitely identify that they have kind of hit their stride with this one, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, I think the general variety of the bits in here really helps keep the movie going. Because I kind of feel like at the end, I was like, I could do one more. We can do one more bit.
I can do one more thing.
I can do one more. But I was like, let it just enjoy it what it is. But no, great movie. Honestly, really, really good.
Agreed. So, based on what we saw from this one, because in VHS, Amateur Night got fleshed out into a feature-length film, what of these shorts would you like to see fleshed out into a feature-length film?
Ooh. You know, kind of... into a feature-length film?
Yes.
As much as I want to say Safe Haven, like, because it's really good... I feel like they did. They told the story kind of perfectly paced. So
yeah, they told
Slumber the story. Slumber Party, Alien Abduction.
I agree.
That needs to be full.
I think,
like, that's a great concept.
Yeah, I think that Slumber Party, Alien Abduction kind of suffered from the lack of time that it had,
mm-hmm.
and I think it having like the time and resources to flesh out the story more, less like because. They gave us, like, right off the bat, I want to say, like, 7 characters.
Yeah.
And so it was really hard to follow, like, who was doing what, when, where, and it was, like, not awesome.
And they're not distinct characters either. They're pretty one-note each. They're very similar.
They're all, yeah, super one-note, not enjoyable. So.
Mm-hmm. No, they can do a lot with that concept. Like, you really can.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, it's a tale as old as time, as they say, right? It's a family that's set out to... They're going away for the weekend, and we're leaving you a list of chores, and be good, and we'll be back. And then, of course, the older sister wants to get up to her sisterly shenanigans, and the younger brothers are like, fuck you, and yeah, it's all a thing. So,
yeah
I agree.
Just give me that with good characters. And, like, yeah. an extra hour of runtime, and I'm happy.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, only a strict hour. Like, this was, I need this to be under an hour 30.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, finally, which of these shorts could you personally see yourself surviving despite the dumb actions of the protagonists?
Me surviving? Jesus, okay. Yeah. Let's break this down here. Can I survive with this thing in my eyeball and the ghosts? If I gotta fuck to get distracted, I'll be happy with that. So, as long as I'm still going, I'm good. Maybe the first one. It's because right in the park, I'd die. I'd die. Zombie apocalypse, I try to help people too much. It's just done. The cult stuff, I don't know if I don't think anybody survived that. That fucking demon was kind of crazy. So, cult stuff, no. I would think, like, this isn't happening, right? And kind of, like, would think that for too long. Slumber Party, Alien Abduction,
I feel like
teenage, or kid me, I'd probably go pretty far.
I feel like those aliens were way too hellbent on, like, killing them, though, so I feel like, you know what I mean?
You're right. And I was, still a child. Yeah, no, I'd only survive the first one, really. And that's just based on how attractive the person is that had the ear fucking thing. The cochlea. How about you?
Reasonably, probably the first one. I forget who I was telling this to, but basically, I'm very convinced. Like, my toxic trait is that I do think I could survive most horror films. Mm-hmm. the zombie one, I think I would. Well, I don't think I'd be in a state park to begin with. So done. But if I did find myself in a state park, I think that once I saw someone that I was trying to help vomit up blood, I think I would have the wherewithal to put two and two together and be like, oh, you're turning into a zombie. This is a zombie thing. It's too late for you. I'm leaving now.
Adios, SA.
Yeah. And those were not fast zombies, those were slow zombies. I could very easily just ride away and be okay. See?
Now, what if it happened halfway through your walk to the Ren Fair after the Uber driver dropped you off in the wrong fucking spot?
If it happened...
With blisters on your feet and everything.
Oh, I would just take my shoes off.
There you go.
That's okay, easy.
See? All right, she's got it. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah, I would just take my shoes off. If there's, like, I can't, if I'm running with, yeah, that's fine. I am from Northern California. Running in the grass in tumultuous terrain without shoes on is practically a national pastime.
Oh, see? There you go.
Yeah, you learn how to avoid the shit that can hurt your feet.
Yeah, now I'd be dead. So I'm done. Is that real blood?
Fuck. Anthony. I have to keep you alive?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't need you. Please save me.
Please save me. Okay, finally, let's wrap it up. Rate this movie out of 5 eerie shorts.
Ooh. Fuck. You know what? I'm going to say 3.9. It's just shy of a 4. If the first segment wasn't so dumb and the second segment wasn't so, or the last segment wasn't so rushed, and this movie had 15 more minutes, probably could have been a 4. Like a solid 4 for me. It's just shy. 3.9. Okay. But it's right there.
I'm going to give it a 4.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I'm not going to gild the lily with this. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4. I love this movie, and I'm sure all the movies I picked this, because I picked, there is one movie that I have not seen. I have no idea what it's going to be like. I just picked it for one particular reason, and we will cross that bridge when we get to it. Yay. But all the other ones I have picked because I genuinely really, really love them. So I can't, other than that one exception, I cannot imagine that anything is going to be lower than a 4.
No, that makes sense. I mean, my birthday month was also, it's just, you know, for us to have fun.
It's good just times. Fun. We're just goofing.
It's just fun, good times. That's right.
So let's go ahead and wrap this clusterfuck up, shall we?
Yes.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Any final notes on VHS2 before we wrap up?
Watch it. It's free. I'd say it's free. You know what? I'm going to talk. I would say, based on what you said before, you can watch this one first and you'll get a feel for the franchise, and just watch part 1 after this and you'll be fine.
Agreed. And I think
if you want might, more VHS,
you know, and if you love 2, I think you'll like 1.
Yeah.
Like, see? You might not like love it, but you'll like it.
Yeah. It gets more VHS, more fixing. So you're good.
Exactly. All right. That was VHS2 from 2013. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us for that. Hopefully, we'll be back to recording in person soon enough. I am waiting with bated breath, just like the rest of you, waiting for Anthony to get his COVID test results.
Yay! Come on, government, send those bitches.
Send those tests. Next week, we are talking about a foreign language film, because it would not be my birthday month if we did not talk about a foreign language film. Anthony, without spoiling it, what were your thoughts?
That movie is some shit. There's some interesting shit going on. It's just graphic and not in English. So, you know what? That's graphic and not in English. That's what we're going to talk about next week.
I'm sorry. Did you hate it?
No, I didn't hate it. I actually was scared.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I was like, cool. So it's a gasper.
It's a gasper.
It's a gasper next. You know what? If with that, and I don't know, we've talked about a bunch of fucked up movies, and this is a fucked up one, so it's fun. We'll have a good time.
I'm very excited to talk about it with you. So join us next week for a gasper of a good time. if you like what you heard, we mentioned it up top, but please make sure you are subscribed wherever you're listening. It does actually help the podcast, and it is a free way for you to support the podcast.
That's right.
It helps people find the podcast. It keeps us boosted in the charts. It's just a really great way to make sure people can actually find us. If you do feel like we deserve a couple bucks for what we do also have a Patreon. We are at patreon.com/horrorpeoplepod. You can check us out there. We do have tiers as low as $5 a month. You can check us out there. We're planning on kind of redoing some stuff and hopefully getting back on schedule with Patreon stuff. That's in the works. So now is a great time to join on Patreon. You get bonus content, you get stickers, you get all this cool stuff. So feel free to check
us out there. And you support us. And you support the show.
We have been a completely independent DIY project since 2018, and we hope to remain that way for years to come. So feel free to check us out there.
Independence, baby!
And if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. You can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. It is my birthday, so no pressure, yeah, but you know. And that is it. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And if you break into someone's house and find a bunch of VHS tapes, I promise you there is nothing interesting on them.
Yeah, that's right. And if you look at the mirror... and you want a previous tape of, like, the sex thing you just did right there. You're living a weird life.
Consider your options. Consider your choices.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Bye, guys.
Peace.